Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 63 of a new season in Destiny. And this is the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk about it and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them and their experiences in Destiny and discuss other topics. And this week, we're going to be discussing the new season, of course, like I mentioned, with our hosts as always. I'm Kingsley Mack. We have Sin, and we have Des Raven.
How you guys doing?
Yo.
I think we're all very well with this hype train that just started on Tuesday.
Sin, can you get the soundboard for us? We need to have like sound effects, right?
Maybe I can work on that.
Like the little game horns and things like that. And that'd be fun. But we are excited to talk about the things we've seen. I mean, we're not going to be like necessarily dissecting every little detail, especially of the fall stuff, because more will be coming out. But we do have to at least briefly go over it, because that was all presented to us in some form on Tuesday. And we are doing our podcast a day after, where we can talk about what we saw and our impressions of the game so far. So I know you were at work, right, Sin? You were able to see most of it?
I was able to catch most of it, and then I tried to watch a little bit of Dr. Lupo after, where Luke Smith and Dr. Lupo chatted for a bit. So
nice. Anything like totally stand out to you before we kind of like just go into some of the points of what we saw?
I mean, the biggest thing for me is probably going to be the biggest thing for a lot of people. And I know this is going to be a question that we're going to get from Troll Jorts, Helios, in the podcast questions, is the Destiny content vault. That was the biggest thing for me that stood out. And we can get into it a little bit later about, you know, what we would like to see. But yeah, that was, to me, cool. You know, it gives a reason to go back and do old content, obviously, and gives meaning to it, and they can pull it back at any point and not just do it one and done. So, yeah. And the fact that they've already outlined 3 years of fall expansions.
I know, right? 3 years.
What about you? Any standouts for you all?
Yeah, Des, I didn't talk to you yet. Did you watch the thing live, or at least after the fact? Anything kind of stand out to you?
Well, much like I said in the Discord, I did not have sick time to be able to abuse. So no, I was receiving a lot of secondhand information.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of speechless at everything that they've like presented and teased at us with. Particularly like what really catches me is kind of like, the future expansions and their titles and their implications of bringing things.
Yeah. Well, let's just go into that some, because this is probably like the stuff we don't know as much about yet, because of course we're going to be talking about what we're actually doing right now and in what they finally got the name Season of Arrivals, although we kind of knew that. But they, like you said, Des, they gave us information on the next couple years of updates, right? And I'm pulling this up here. We know this fall, the title is called Destiny 2 Beyond Light. And then they gave us, you know, a trailer for that and everything. But then they went on and they're like, okay, by the way, we're going to show you the titles for 2021 and 2022, you know, a couple years out. This is kind of unheard of. I mean, I guess it makes sense. They have a plan, right? This much ahead of time of what the overall theme is, but kind of surprised they're giving us even an overall theme, because they really are, because in 2021, we know the title is The Witch Queen, obviously something to do with Savathun. And then 2022 Lightfall, and then they show the pyramid ship again. So that's implying we're going to be dealing with the pyramid ships all the way through 2022 and later?
Yeah, no, there has been some response. It's like, oh, but they, you know, it's going to take them like 2 more years to resolve pyramid ships, maybe. I mean, good Lord, we've known about Savathun since Taken King. So I'm true.
Right.
We've been waiting on her to make a move for like what, four or five years now.
Yeah,
quite a few.
Hey, I'm okay with this. I mean, it's not like we know exactly too much, and other than a title and a general theme, and the fact that we kind of know that these ideas will be played out in some aspect. I mean, this 2021 looks like a awesome one in my eyes, kind of like, you know, a whole King's Fall, but it's Savathun instead, you know?
Right.
I mean, so we got that, but we did get more information on Beyond Light. We got a trailer on it and some basic gameplay. And we learned, you know, even though we heard some of these rumors, but we will be getting the new location of Europa.
That to me is exciting as...
Wait, did you say boo, Des?
I said woo.
Oh, woo. I was like...
Excitement, said, woo.
That is exciting. But I think the more exciting part is the fact that it sounds like we're about to have a fourth subclass.
Yeah.
Right.
So that is called Stasis. Now, there's a lot of ways you could take this into me. I mean, I think one thing that could be semi-obvious is, you know, they show like the frozen planet. Is this going to be like a subclass that kind of like freezes things in like a form of stasis and you can somehow deal with realities? I don't know. That's very vague idea that I'm presenting, but I'm excited that we're getting another subclass, another element, they said. This is going along with Arc, Void, and Solar, and it'll actually be another element.
Yeah, I find it very interesting because, God, how long have people suspected, at least, because, of course, it's probably not going to be exactly ice, sure, but, I mean, that one hunter, image of the hunter with summoning the things, that sure looks ice-like, to say the least. And we've been theorizing something ice-like. I'm trying to think how long.
Yeah.
It's been like that thought has been around for so long. I can't even like pinpoint when I first heard it.
Well, they mentioned also that Europa was one of the original ideas they had for a planet all the way back at the beginning of D1. So maybe it just they didn't have time to add it in, and so now they're finally doing that.
Could you say that they had no time to explain?
No time to code it in.
I'm sorry to make that reference, but then again, I mean, I guess another thing in the trailer is we see the Exo Stranger.
Oh, yes.
Which is a curiosity, considering even Luke Smith has said before, taking the stance that her story was supposedly done.
I know. It did seem like. I know. Well, it's fine. I mean, I guess we're not upset, right?
But do you notice something?
No, tell me.
Because I noticed it as soon as I saw her. And this thought has kind of buzzed in my head ever since I saw the image of her, and especially the collector's edition Bungie, where you can get like a 10-inch statue of the Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But she,
You may have cut out there.
Sorry, my finger moved from the button. Apologies. Oh, no.
You're saying she may have.
If I had a nickel for every time.
I know, right? Happened to the best of us.
But
I was so excited what you were going to say.
Her rifle is still on her back.
Okay.
I mean, I can't be 100% certain because we haven't seen a good angle of it from behind. Giggity. But that definitely seems like the rifle she gave us.
A duplicate, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I always assume when these things happen, I never have taken it super literally. I'm like, okay, this is space magic. Certainly they can like do like a Star Trek replicator of their weapon and give it to us.
Yeah, for sure. But except there is one super crazy, far out there idea that has been in Destiny since D1 Vanilla. And that was the fact that the Exo Stranger is a time-traveling agent trying to correct the past. But we never know who she's talking to. So this, like, one of these far-fetched theories make mention that the Guardian she's talking to is actually us in the future.
Yeah.
So her still having the rifle, I'm wondering if there won't be some kind of credence to that long-standing theory.
Oh, yeah. Well, she comes right in the trailer. She comes riding in on her speeder bike. And I was getting flashbacks of Star Wars because, you know, it's the ice planet. And they keep showing that scene of her like, you know, like, what are we on, Hoth? But and then she comes in. And, of course, Eris and the Drifter are there, too. It's like they have some secret meeting. But they seemed surprised to see her. But she was like, this is what I've been dealing with or something. I should have watched the trailer right before we started, but it's something to that effect. And then we're like, Europa, and this is the game we're going to be playing now, and we have to deal with the big bad evil is, what, a female Fallen that has taken over the powers of, well, it's kind of that same idea of upset that the Fallen race used to have the power of the Traveler. And since they don't have it anymore, I don't know, she's planning a way to get that power back or whatever. But we have to deal with it.
It's Fallen. Okay, what was his name? I forget his name now.
And I'm trying to see the name of what her name was. They mentioned it in the Vidoc, or whatever we want to call this, but the name of the main enemy that we'll be competing against. Well, anyways, we know that we're getting Europa, and we then also heard, and this is where my mind started blowing, and it goes into this other thing, like what Sin was mentioning about the vault. We learned that they want to, starting with this year 4, they said, okay, guys, we're just going to keep D2 going for a while with that name. We're not going to be having the D3. You know, we all kind of were like guessing, you know, 50-50, this might be happening anyways. But they're going to, it gives them the ability to remove some things and to bring some things back. And then they start throwing out all these things like, and this fall in this expansion, we are going to be having the Cosmodrome coming back with the 3 strikes on the Cosmodrome. And I'm like, whoa, you know, like awesome Sepix and all that. And then they say we can even bring things back like Vault of Glass, which will be coming back sometime in year 4. Yay!
That is exciting. And the fact that they're going to be changing the map for that, so this content that cycles in and out will basically be, you won't have to worry about Cyclothrian on the map. I guess they're going to change all that as the seasons progress.
For sure. Yeah, as the years progress, they will basically be, it sounds like they're only taking out big things and planets and putting in new ones during each yearly expansion. And they showed us a picture of what this year 4 update will look like. And they show it's pretty basic. They have the tower in the middle. And this is subject to change a little bit, but Vanguard, Gambit's Crucible above it, Europa upper left, Nessus lower left, Earth below really big with EDZ and Cosmodrome, 2 different areas, and then Tangled Shore, Dreaming City, and Moon on the right. But it definitely looks a bit different and a little bit more clean and empty than compared to what we've had, because they did officially say the areas that we will be not having anymore, and it will go into the vault. And those destinations are Mars, Io, Titan, Mercury, and Leviathan, and all their supported activities. So,
if you need a clear in, now is the time.
Yes, if you miss the Infinite Forest and Mercury, you better go through it now.
Right? I mean, that, and it's nice of Bungie to be learning from Disney, of all places. If y'all actually remember, they used to put movies in the vault for like a generation before they came back out with some super special edition that kept getting bigger and better every time they brought it back out.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with this. I mean, we do need to, probably the biggest thing that this means for us is IO, so Whisper Mission, and all the Leviathan stuff, all the raids. So everyone, seriously, I mean, we've said this a lot before, but yes, people want to get Spire Stars done more now because we know it's going away. It's kind of interesting how that works, right? But there's still even plenty of people that haven't even done Leviathan or done it on Prestige. We have Eater of Worlds. We have Crown of Sorrows and Menagerie.
Yeah, Menagerie is leaving too. So yeah, Crown is probably definitely leaving as well if they're taking Nessus then.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, they're not taking Nessus. They just said they're taking Leviathan and all those activities.
Oh, okay.
So that's the interesting thing. But yeah, so Nessus is staying, but all the Leviathan stuff, meaning all the raids. And they kind of did mention how there's going to be three raids. I mean, we kind of like did the math, and from what we can tell, the only old raids sticking with us in the fall will be Scourge of the Past, Last Wish, and Garden of Salvation.
Yeah, because I did read somewhere where they counted like all the old raids, but they never specified raid layers. So the layers are indeed being classified as raids.
Yes, yeah, and if they're on Leviathan, if Leviathan's going, I mean, I have speculation on how this plays out anyways. I mean, maybe the pyramid ships are going to do something to all these locations, and it'd be cool, like, if we see them somehow get affected, and Leviathan being one of these, quote, locations, it's its own ship planet in a way. It's a huge thing that could go away. Well, will go away. I mean,
originally, it was in the orbit of Nessus rather than within the map, so.
Yeah, it's interesting Nessus is staying, but still, I mean, Titan, I'll miss that a little bit, even though it's such a small place. Mercury, eh, who cares? Io's pretty cool in a way, and then Mars is fine. And then Leviathan, it'll just be sad that we'll have less raids, but hey, that's fine because we know we're getting a new raid, part of Europa, come fall. Mm-hmm. And then they said another one will be coming, and some throughout the year, and then, of course, Vault of Glass. Yeah. So, sounds good to me.
Though also interesting, a lot of the planets that they're taking and stuff that they're taking are a lot of these planets that have or have had like a lot of focus in seasons or DLC or something. Like Mars has Escalation Protocol still, and they're taking the raids in Menagerie. Mercury had the Sundial not long ago. So I'm wondering if the selection of these planets are basically, these are the ones that will save the most memory in the long term.
Yeah, that's definitely. Good point. And there's ways they can make this work. I mean, you think about how those, if they even want to keep some of these exotics around. I mean, they do want to keep the exotics around, and we're already starting to see at the Cryptarch these seasonal exotics just listed it through the Cryptarch that you can get now. From the previous seasons, you don't have to do, right? Sin, we saw like Symmetry, Devil's Ruin.
There was a handful of them.
Yeah.
And you need something called an exotic cipher, which I do know you can get one in the first part of the seasonal pass. So I don't know how easily obtainable they are after that. The good part for us is we already have them all, but for those who don't have them, it's an easy way to obtain them.
Some of us have them all.
I'm hoping Xur will have exotic ciphers or something. There'll be some way to. That would make sense to me.
Right.
Although then he should just have the exotics. Why does the Cryptarch have them? Like, Xur should actually have more of a reason to go to him.
Well, if you notice, these seasonal exotics actually have a cost other than a cipher.
I didn't see all the details.
Yeah, they. Well, I scanned over them, and I'm missing Ariane's Vow because, you know, I was kind of gone at the time. But because it takes I think it takes 200 helium filaments, as well as legendary shards, and what are they called? Enhancement prisms. Also,
mm-hmm.
as in addition to the exotic cipher.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. But I think that's makes sense to have some of these just to simplify and to, especially if you can't do the proper quests anymore, it's just a way to kind of bring that stuff back. And it's not like EP will be still around, but maybe any weapons that are related to that, like Polaris Lance. They are probably just going to have to put Polaris Lance into this area, kind of like what the Cryptarch is doing, if Mars is going away. Well, I mean, but as they're going away, they're going into the DCV, the Destiny Content Vault, and there's always a possibility, what, like a couple more years down the road, they decide to bring Mars back in some new way. Not saying that's going to happen specifically, but it could. That's kind of the idea, is that stuff comes out, new stuff, or other stuff comes back in.
Now, it sounded to me like when they were doing their live stream, almost, because when it's kind of been hand-in-hand with the DCV that they were talking about, they almost, I thought they called it like an online, like they called it like Destiny Online. Like they might have slipped and said that. Did anybody else catch that? I didn't go back and listen, but it almost, if I remember correctly, I thought I remember them saying something like Destiny Online.
I never heard that. I heard like maybe like Destiny Universe kind of slip out, like that wording, but definitely didn't hear online. Sorry, Gator. And in fact, there it's kind of interesting, and Luke Smith has even doubled down on this today, or someone did when they were asking, but they're keeping the name Destiny 2 for now. I mean, obviously the idea is this is kind of like a Destiny Online, if we're just looking at the conceptually what this means. I mean, stuff's coming out, stuff's coming in here and there, but for now they're just calling it Destiny 2. And we'll see if that changes. I kind of guess in another year or two they might, I don't know, maybe they'll just keep the name Destiny 2 forever, but it would be fine either way if they want to just change the name to like Destiny or Destiny. Maybe they don't want to do Destiny because that's what we all call Destiny 1. So maybe they would have to do something like Destiny, the Destiny Eververse. No, why am I saying that?
Did you just say Destiny Eververse?
Grace that's in. Although, hey, I want to talk about it in a second. There's some cool things in the Eververse this season, but all right. What else about upcoming before we kind of go into? Oh. Go ahead.
Well, I was just about to say. Also, thanks to a lot of these like interviews and stuff, we do have also, I guess, as a rough outline now. Luke Smith has categorized this game as a thing. And a lot of people aren't going to like it. But he has called, or he has mentioned that they do want to make Destiny like a great action MMO.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's definitely heading in that direction, but I know there's a subset of the community that's not going to be very happy with that. And I'm not even saying like our community, but you know, the overarching larger community.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least one of my times briefly frolicking through Reddit, I mentioned, or I saw over a few posts that's like, stop trying to make this shooter an MMO. It's not that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
hey, the more MMO that they add, because it's never quite like just like coming originally from that side, so I'm fine with it, you know. It's kind of, it adds more. See, the thing about MMOs is they overwhelm me, like jumping into a new one, right? And I know maybe like, oh, you should just jump in because they have a getting started, or it just starts off slow, but I'm seeing this now with Destiny. If they make it more that way, since I'm already used to the game, I'm happy with them doing that.
All right, like it's definitely almost optimal to hop into an MMO while they're still early. But then again, it's also kind of hard to tell if they're actually going to survive long enough, especially in this day and age. But yeah. Fond, long memories.
Yeah, one thing I just noticed reading through some more details right now, and it's fine, doesn't matter, but I was assuming full Cosmodrome coming in the fall, but they said it'll be an explorable destination, but not at full Destiny 1 parity on 9/22. They're looking to make it full Cosmodrome by Season 13. So Season 12 is what's this fall. So I guess we'll see part of the Cosmodrome, and the rest of it will come by Season 13. And then also Will of Crota Strike will be right away in the fall. And then that's Sepix, right? No, what's Will of Crota? That's
Omnigul.
Omnigul, duh. Okay, I was like, because didn't they mention Sepix? But now I'm not seeing that name in here. But anyways, Will of Crota is right away. And then Season 13, they're going to have Devil's Lair and Fallen Saber Strikes. I really like Fallen Saber. And then sometime during year four, they'll have Vault of Glass returning. I swear they said Sepix Strike also, so maybe they just didn't write that here in the details.
I'm wanting to say that they're definitely... I don't know, because they mentioned all the strikes associated with Earth, and, I mean, or should I say the Cosmodrome.
Yeah.
And Sepix was the first and only for a while.
Yeah.
So if they don't bring back Sepix, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when I heard them talking about it. That's okay. We're just going to assume they are. We don't have to get too picky about the details right now. But it's interesting how they gave us all this information in a different way than before. Yet at the same time, when we talk about what's coming this season, there still seems to be some mystery behind it, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, you know,
some, or you mean a lot?
Well, some things have already been spoiled a little bit, and we're not going to talk about them, but data mined and whatnot. But if you guys want to see that, you can go to the Destiny Spoilers channel in our Discord. But it still doesn't mean we know how it's all going to play out.
Exactly. Because there are things that... Well, I'm at least going to mention the first part there. There's things you can't damage on planets.
Yes, we all know that.
Yes.
Sin, I didn't know... See, the funny thing, I was playing with Sin last night, and we were doing the new public event. And
I thought Sin, they had to do with that.
Yeah, I know. Me Sin's too. Like, what are these taken eye things over here? I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I haven't seen them yet. I'm like, just get over where we're doing stuff, Sin. I'm like, there's like the circles where you have to kill the guys in those. But I'm like,
yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about, Sin. Stop getting distracted. But come to find out, those actually will mean something. Just probably not yet. Not for a while.
And hopefully for more than a shader.
Oh, that's yeah. I'm pretty sure it will be. One other thing real quick that kind of went along with this before they're talking about the seasons is, as expected, they will have the game available. Who knows when? I don't know if it'll be right when PlayStation 5 and the new Xbox comes out, but I'm sure shortly after they will have the game working for that, and it'll be, as we already know, PS4 games play on PS5, and so Sony and Xbox have done this where if you get a PS5, it's supposed to interopt well with a PS4, so Bungie confirmed that if someone in your family has a PS5 and you have a PS4, you can play with each other, and the same thing with the Xbox. Nice. And then they said, yes, and next year we are still looking into getting full crossplay going PC to PS4 to Xbox. Yay. And then people start saying, wait, what? Why do we want to do that? PvP? No, it'll be fine, guys. It'll be fine.
I know, right?
Other games are already doing it.
With some of the horror stories that are starting to come out, like about the PC side PvP.
It's true. Yeah,
like, I'm wondering exactly how many people are going to be excited for crossplay now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hey, we're excited when it comes to do with like all the raiding, of course, and other activities that you can group up on. And I'm pretty sure Destiny will do this like other games where you have an option. You can opt in or opt out where if you're on the PlayStation ecosystem, you don't have to play with PC Crucible players. You can say, okay, yeah, I only want PS4. Or if you want to play with your buddies, then you would have to obviously turn that on and be okay with that option being on.
Well, I know there's another game that I played that when they actually did implement a crossplay, there's an option that basically separates people into either pure crossplay or keyboard and mouse with keyboard and mouse and controller inputs with controller inputs.
Oh, interesting. Because, yeah, PC doesn't even do that right now because you can do controller or mouse and keyboard on the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Because Destiny is incredibly fluid with what input you're using at any given time.
Yes, and I have to make a note to talk about something else. But let's talk about I just got to grab something real quick, but let's talk about the season of Arrivals. And when you first hopped in, there were some cutscenes and some missions, right? What did you think about all that?
Pretty interesting, I think, so far. And I know you were excited to jump in because you played it right before I did, obviously, because I was working. And then once I got to the cutscenes, you're able to join for the first mission. But yeah, I was kind of taken away. I thought it was a pretty good start to the season. Personally, nothing too hard, nothing too grindy. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good start, and there's still a lot of mystery that we need to figure out. And it's already posted somewhere that we have what we have: regular Gambit, Gambit Prime. We have a Gambit Raid, and what we have now, a Gambit Public Event.
Yes. Yeah.
But I do like that they're tying in the Drifter and a little bit more of a, I would say, a little bit different way, because there's a lot of unused, I think, potential there with the Umbrella Engrams that they got now. It kind of adds a new little twist or a little new dynamic to things. Not that it's any different than prior seasons. It's just kind of a different way of doing it.
Oh, I really like how they're doing it. If we want to get into that right now, I think, yeah, maybe there could be some things that are just slightly better, but I think this device, I forget the name of it, if anyone wants to tell me, but, you know, that's next to Drifter. He's kind of like the seasonal new vendor device thing, you know, where you go and see all your things that you can level up and get your Engrams and put in your seasonal currencies and all that. But for some reason, it's really appealing to me way more than, like, even last season when I first saw the Seraph Towers and all that shiz. I was like, okay, this is fine, I'm going to do it, but it doesn't seem as interesting to me. And it might just be because of these Umbral Engrams. This is, like, really working for me. The fact that you can decode them, or you can, encode or massage them to be
a certain
type of Engram, so that when you decode it, you will get either that top row, and there's going to be even more specialization you can do, but you can start off with weapons, and it's the new weapons, or you can start off with armor, the new armor, or you can start off with legacy stuff, which I haven't tried any of those yet, or Drifter items, which seems to be like the Gambit stuff. And I'll tell you, like, I had some higher level Umbral Engrams, and I was looking at my character, I'm like, okay, I'm a little light on my armor side. My power is a little bit lower there, so I focused my Umbral Engrams to armor pieces, and it worked. I actually got some higher level stuff, and I'm like, this is brilliant. It's like slightly fun now, decoding, where before you're just like, yay, I got something, but it's probably not going to help.
Yeah,
this is that aspect. Yeah, it's also kind of like an advanced feature of what they implemented in D1 that was kind of sad that they took out when D2 started. And because I'm wanting to say it was in Rise of Iron, you actually choose if the vendors gave you a weapon or an armor for a rank up package.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. And I thought that was interesting too. And I didn't know the game as well back then. I was like, okay, which one do I need more? Or maybe I was leveled up and I didn't really care, so I was just randomly doing it. But now I know kind of more what I want. And now I know my next few ones are going to, I was doing armor for a bit. At first I started weapons and I was doing armor for a bit. And now I know I'm going to focus back on weapons because my power level is kind of even right now and it's getting a little bit higher. So now I just kind of want to get some more of the new weapons and some better rolls. So it's really kind of cool that you can just decide that.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're incentivizing it, because you can't, the thing that allows you to even focus them is tied to the seasonal currency machine that as you rank it up, you'll actually be able to get, or at least I'm assuming you'll, or it might be in the season pass. I'm not sure, but either way, they're incentivizing gameplay by giving you more choices the more you play.
Yes.
And like more fine-tuning the more you play.
It's kind of like Menagerie, and but Menagerie was almost like a little too complicated. You'd have to get your little slide ruler out and say, okay, right. Red does this, blue does this, green does this. Let's put it in the calculator and see what you get.
I still have two images. Too, but... Yeah, I still have like two images on my phone that are like grid work of all the Menagerie loot. Because, like, okay, yeah. I want this, so that's one of these, one of those, and I want that masterwork, so that one.
But Menagerie was still a really good system at the time. We liked it a lot. It's still a pretty good system, and if you need those things. And, yeah, so it's nice that we have the ability to somewhat do that here, too, just in a slightly different way.
Yeah, and in fact, I felt really stupid before I really started grinding Menagerie, because I was looking, trying to look for a place to find, like, a better old Dust Rock Blues without realizing, oh, hey, stupid, it's in the Menagerie. It's like, oh, I could just use these ruins. Right. And
I think everybody forgets Dust Rock Blues. Menagerie.
Yeah. Oh, or the Arantol. You can get the Arantol there. And
yeah.
Yep.
Like, it's weird because it's like Menagerie weapons and then plus all pretty much like at least half of the top grinded for weapons in Destiny 2 are like other weapons you can get in the Menagerie.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at this now. And by the way, this machine's called the Prismatic Recaster. And you can, when you're on just like the first tier, you can focus on, yeah, weapons, armor, legacy, or dredgen focused. And then the next row down is where you can start focusing on the weapons like rifle class, edge focused, arrival focused, worthy focused, dawn focused, undying, contrast. So different perks, classes. And then the armor down below, discipline or intellect or mobility, recovery, resilience, and strength.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that I was really super stoked to see is the fact that you can actually influence the primary stat of the armor that drops.
Yes. And remember, people were saying, why are they sunsetting armor? Well, this is showing some small glimpses that they're probably going to have systems in play, even if they're not fully fleshed out right now, where you can get good stat rolled armor. You may have to work to leveling something up, but then you can exactly. Say, this is what I need. I will eventually get it, and you will.
Yeah, and what, basically mid-season, you can actually really start focusing on like building stuff rather than just playing the game and hoping something drops.
Yeah. There's just some feeling about this thing that I really like. Also, it was interesting. It seems like that first mod on the very bottom that you can unlock so far, it seemed like it changed today. So maybe that's a daily rotating mod.
Yeah, so I saw that.
Even more reason to come back and check it out from time to time.
Yes, it is a rotating mod.
Yeah.
Because when I picked it up yesterday, there was another one to pick up, and it was different today.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You know, Sin, I wanted to say, back on that story thing really quick, we're starting to see Savathun even this season, because this whole story is based on, you know, the Savathun Shriekers, the Savathun's Eye. you know, we first go in, we see Savathun's court just briefly, and we see like millions of Shriekers, and then I'm like, okay, but we're starting to get some teases already, even though we know, I guess, the big Savathun's going to be the end of 2021 going into 2022, but it's pretty cool how they're just bringing more elements in and having great missions and good sound that goes with it, and it keeps me on the hook. So like, even though we know Savathun, maybe the ultimate is far away, there's still something going on with that right now. And also they released a lore piece today. I didn't give a chance to go through it all the way, but they basically, in this lore book that they wrote, Savathun is working with Nokris, is what we have learned. and she pulled him into his court and said, I want to use you. This is like very, very TLDR. And she's like, tell me your necromancer powers and I'm going to give you other powers. And then he's like, okay, deal. And then she pushes him away and he realizes he was just talking to a thrall all along, just in the form of Savathun, because she wouldn't be foolish enough to let him see where she actually resides. And I just got chills when I was like reading that end part.
I know, right? Because yeah. That's already much smarter than Oryx was.
Yep. Way smarter. Yeah.
But yeah, actually, as far as chills go, also, like, within that first mission, the first time we get pulled into Savathun's court, I about lost my stuff, my dude.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the fact that Savathun, like, actively did a thing to us just drove me like up a wall. It's like, oh my god,
yeah.
Like another year maybe we will be able to see her.
Yep. And of course Eris is around to do her normal thing where she's pulling us back.
I know, it's becoming a trope anymore. It kind of Eris is in this story, she's got to teleport us out of somewhere.
With her little sound effects, Marsha, Marjo, whatever she does. You know?
Enough! Wait a minute, can you do that one more time, Kingsley?
Hey, this is already recorded. You can get it either way.
Truth.
I probably did it like 25% as good as she does it. No, but I thought it was a pretty cool mission. Definitely not what I would expect for just a seasonal update. This is like a legit mission you would get, hopefully, in a set of 5 missions or more in a seasonal in an expansion.
Right? That's definitely how I felt. I mean, sure, it was just one, but it definitely felt more major than a seasonal opener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so way cool. And way cool that they have that. Plus, you know, I was guessing at least that this season would be bigger than last season. And sure enough, we also find out day one, a dungeon comes out. We're like, what? And then we're like, my mind's totally exploding, you know?
Right. Yeah, I was not expecting that.
And I'll tell you, go ahead, Des. Sorry.
I'm just glad to see the 9 coming back and like finally, you know, making a presence again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched the trailer of it. It was pretty cool. It reminded me of Tron. It reminded me of like 80s music. It reminded me of the 9 and then taking stuff in there too.
And also the fact that they call it the 9 realms. I see what you're doing, Bungie. I see what you're doing.
And this is, again, really good for me that it gets me excited to actually power up right now. Because in the past, yeah, it's like, okay, we have, maybe we know, maybe we don't, a dungeon's coming out 2 weeks or 4 weeks down the road. You know, they did something like that with Shadowkeep. I'm like, okay, well, we just got to level up, whatever. But now that the dungeon's out on night one and I went in it a little bit and I got excited and we couldn't get too far and I'm like, okay, I need to power up like stat, you know,
right.
Gives me some reason to power up. Now I'm actually going in all the activities now, even the gambits and the crucibles, and get every little powerful ingram I can for the week.
Yeah. The reason to grind, not the mindless grind or bounty hunting, just to level up the season pass.
Right. It's grind with intent rather than just, I'll get the stuff.
Yeah. So I won't talk about what I saw in the dungeon, but I did hop on it a little bit last night. And I would say we'd probably, just to be safe, at least 10:30 is kind of like the goal we want to go for. I hopped in at 10:15. I think someone was at 10:20. And I mean, we slogged through the first part. The first quote encounter, I don't even know if it was really an encounter. It seems like it was a two-part encounter. And we got to the second part, and there was kind of a quote, a boss or a sub-boss, I don't know. And we knew what we probably needed to do, but we just couldn't get it done because of just dying too easily. But so far from what we saw, pretty cool. And we knew we only saw probably at most a fourth or a third of it because of what I saw in the trailer. There was tons of areas that we did not see yet.
All right. And it's unlike a lot of dungeons, it's a lot of, it seems like a lot of varied terrain. Shown in the trailer, at least.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I'll just say one thing, though. It has more things to do with moats again, and X, you're going to love that. So let's get in the dungeon sometime.
Yeah, I saw a picture on Twitter that was an exhibit meme. It's like, yo, dog, I heard you like Gambit and public events, so we made a public event where you get to play Gambit.
Yeah. Well, what else? What else about the season do we know so far or looking forward to? Or, I mean, we have the calendar. There's going to be, we don't really know anything details wise, but they did tell us that, was it Moments of Triumphs and the summer or the Solstice of Heroes is coming back. What that all entails, we don't know yet.
Solstice armor. Yay.
I think I still have a box at the box from the last Solstice armor that we said they were going to give you when you max it up. It was going to be armor 2.0, but they gave you a box of armor basically at the gunsmith that you could pick up with all the armor in it. My box is still sitting there. I never picked it up.
Oh, I do want to mention, I won't, well, they do show this on the season page, so I guess it's not a spoiler, but they have full armor set in the dungeon too, which gives you another reason. It's almost, you know, it's like we have something to do this whole season. It's like a mini raid. The Daito? How come I don't know how to pronounce that?
Daito.
I knew that. See, now that I hear that, I knew it was the third way. But that armor set you can get in the dungeon along with some of the Ikelos weapons are coming back, which is a little odd and unique, but nonetheless, those will be retrievable in there too. Excuse me.
So this dungeon actually has entirely unique armor to the dungeon.
Yes, it's more than just the Pit of Heresy where you just get that, what is it? Well, yeah.
Or what was Dreamsbane? Dreamsbane?
Dreamsbane armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's actually a huge step up in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more things to look forward to.
I think I'm still more interested in the fact that there will be a D1 raid in D2.
Sounds like, okay, now you're still hoping they'll eventually bring Wrath, right? So your prediction can come true?
I mean, it will come true now that DCV is there. And Helios, that is what I'm like most looking forward to, is Wrath.
So all we have to do is wait for the Plague Lands to come back. And then Sin will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as the raid, too, I mean, it's hard to say which one I'm looking most forward to, especially with Vault of Glass coming back. They're going to revamp it and make it harder and hopefully, obviously, in better fidelity. So in some aspects, I'm more excited about that. But as far as the mechanics in the raid, yeah, I generally liked Wrath better. So I'm excited for that one, too.
Yeah,
I like the throwing of balls and servitors and everything. You know, there's more movement. I feel like in Wrath of the Machine, it's fun too, jumping on his back.
It was hilarious because I, of course, read that Vault of Glass is coming back, and there's like this little nagging thought like popped in like the back of my head. It's like, oh yeah, but we don't have Icebreaker for Templar anymore.
Yeah,
we got Revoker.
But it's not Icebreaker. Icebreaker had unlimited ammo.
Actually, hey, we have Wither Horde.
Be anyway.
Yeah, I know, right? Speaking of Wither Horde, boy, this since Horde. Yesterday and today, all hell's broken loose with what people figured out you can do with this. First, right. We saw it in Crucible. Like, we went in some Crucible matches, and first I was like, remember seeing, I'm like, what are these weird green things little all puddles. Over the place? Yeah, I'm like... And weren't you saying something like, is that something to do with the thing? And I was like, well, they look different than what I'm what I saw him out in PvE world, but I guess that's just how they make him look in Crucible. And so then you're seeing him everywhere. I'm like, great, is this going to be the meta? At least for a while, right? Everyone's, for zone control, it's very useful.
Yeah, it is exceptional area denial. Because you stand in there for like a good, 2 seconds or a second, you're dead.
People around corners too, even in trials or like in threes, if you know someone's around the corner and they're trying to use their emote to scope you, you can just throw that out there and it has that wide area of effect and it'll push them back.
But, because I did play Crucible when I got home today. And of course, I ran into at least a half a dozen of them per game. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
There is a fairly easy way to fight against them, though.
Get close and shotgun.
Jump.
Well, good thing I jump a lot already.
Right, because that's something I've been learning to do in Crucible a little more, is like using, what do they call it, the vertical space a little more. And somebody plopped a grenade like right at my feet. And I landed for a hot second, and I was already jumping again. I was able to jump out of the radius, and I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of glorious. Because there's this one guy. We were on Midtown. And of course, like, everything started culminating opposite, pretty much the outside area where heavy spawns for sixes. One team was on one side of the bridge, my team was on this side of the bridge. You can tell this guy had a game plan, because he kept trying to sneak around to the back of us and get some of us with Witherhorde. But again, yeah. Seeing the stupor of him not knowing what to do once, like I said, jumping, and it's like, wait, he's not dead. Oh crap, I'm dead. It kind of feels good.
Yeah, and there's that weapon. There's a bunch of other weapons that I'm trying to get some good rolls on. The False Promises auto rifle I didn't like at first, but I got a better roll, Subsidence, Swashbuckler, and PvE, and it's a laser, let me tell you. It's a laser, and I'm enjoying it a little bit more now. I think I could actually start using it more as a main in PvE.
Yeah, it's...
I'm totally using Gnawing Thunder.
What's it called? The new Leech Life perk. Relentless?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
I think, yeah. Is that the one where you get your health, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a very specific mention that guardians are worth more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the count. I could have sworn I was just killing one person and getting health regen. Like, maybe it was like an assist in another person or something. I don't know. But I swear, like, one gunfight, and all of a sudden I had a flash. Like, because you know whenever, Suros or Crimson procs. That, like, subtle flash, even if your health is full. No evidence or anything, but yeah, I don't know. That kind of blew my mind that, wait, can you just kill one person in the Crucible and start get health regen? That's basically Crimson.
Yeah, yeah, and boy, we're going to have a lot to talk about, I feel like, with these new perks and weapons. We should start hitting that some more this next couple weeks. I mean, we'll go forever tonight if you know, but I did want to bring up one thing. We learned that there's a, you know, in our seasonal artifact, there is in the third column. Okay, so we do know that anti-barrier luckily can go on auto rifles now. It can go on a few different things, so I'm happy it's not just SMGs anymore.
Yeah.
But the pulse one for pulse is unstoppable? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. People found out that there's another pulse one in the third or fourth column that you can actually put on armor instead of the weapon. And so you can get unstoppable pulse with exotics now. You can use Outbreak. You can use Bad Juju. Mm-hmm. That's pretty epic.
any pulse in your arsenal suddenly gets that. I love the fact that they made that addition.
Yes, like, because really it was annoying enough that, it really opens up. It was annoying enough that we had to be working with these double primaries almost if you wanted to, like, fill the whole gambit of stuff. But at least now we have some exotics we can do too, and that might get me interested in running Bad Juju and Outbreak some more.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised I didn't wait for that for next season. Are we supposed to be getting a pulse?
Well, I know there's a pulse, just a legendary pulse, but I don't know that's what weird. The exotic weapon's going to be.
Okay, that's fair. Because, it's no surprise, but, I mean, there's a thing coming back. People can look it up if they really want to know, but
that's true. No, and I surprise. Yeah, and I know, but then I forgot. So it's still a surprise for me in this moment.
Yay.
What's coming back?
No sense. You're going to have to wait.
I'm still looking at this third column thing you're talking about.
It might be the
fourth column.
Yeah.
Let me see. It's called...
But it's basically... It's Unstoppable Pulse. It's the second Unstoppable Pulse.
Yeah, it's in the fourth column. Unstoppable Pulse, and it's an armor mod send instead of a weapon mod.
Yep. Arms, I believe.
Yep.
Is arms. What it said.
Yeah, I haven't unlocked that yet, but...
No, I haven't messed around with it or unlocking any mods yet.
I'm excited that Oppressive Darkness is back. I really liked that one because I'm a Void Boy, and so I have my powerful Void Grenades again.
Yeah.
Void Boy.
Void Boy. Axe knows what I'm talking about. And speaking of Eververse and Axe... there's some cool finishers and things, and definitely the emotes and the finishers on par this season. And I usually don't spend too much money, but, you know, I'll buy maybe one thing per season if it really appeals to me. Of course, I got the Macklemore armor set last season. And this season, I decided to buy, at least so far, the Nova Bomb finisher. It's actually pretty cool. It's like a little mini Nova Bomb when you do a finisher move on the enemy. So I'm like, yep, that's all me. Definitely getting that one.
Yeah, I've actually already picked up the Nighthawk ornament.
Yeah, oh, that one looks so cool. If I do my Hunter, I'm going to have to do that.
Because it's hilarious. Burning actually tagged me on Twitter. And it's like, why do I think this guy is going to like this? It's like, because you're right.
Everyone should like it. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
But you're got right. Home. Yeah, you definitely like it. Yeah,
got home, loaded up. First thing I did. After the mission.
Nice. Well, gentlemen, should we get into some questions? We have a lot of, I think, questions from last time, so might want to pump through some of these.
That's a woo, not a boo.
Yes, definitely a woo.
Stop booing us. All right, we have golf. Trying to avoid spoilers, so super hype for the teaser trailer that was leaked about insert Jupiter Moon. If they have snowballs for me to throw all the time, I'm going to be pissed, LOL. Would you rather have a darkness subclass or an ice subclass added to our options? I understand everyone's obsession with listening to The Cure and shopping at Hot Topic, but wouldn't it be badass to be able to manipulate ice for a super? Both would be cool. Just wanted to hear you guys discuss. Awesome show. Keep the great work. Well, not too far off of the idea of what we found out.
Yeah, I was about to say, because this question was posed just before everything was released. And as far in reality, as far as it goes, it seems like we're getting both ice and darkness in one.
There you go. You win. You win, sir.
No, right?
I mean... I prefer darkness stuff over ice. I'm always kind of like, when I do Diablo, I'm like the necromancer. I like the dark art, witchcraft type stuff, but ice is pretty cool too.
Yeah. And every time I played through Dark Forces, I was always a dark side of the force kind of guy. Because, I mean, you get such cool things like Force Choke and Force Lightning. It's like,
why? It's in like the crayon powers. He'll throw crayons at, and they will pierce through the enemies and come out the other side. They'll be sharp as like nails.
But do you sing the Reading Rainbow theme song while you do it?
Reading Rainbow.
Axe added upon that and says, if they added ice, they have to change Cold Heart's element to match the description. What if instead of darkness, they added unfiltered light as a subclass, since Void, Arc, and Solar are just different spectrums of it? I mean, that's kind of brilliant in a way, unfiltered light. It's just the pure power of light.
I mean, and coming from an RPG specific background, this would essentially be like our non-elemental option there, which, except being an RPG guy, it's like, yes, please. Give us amazing, awesomely huge like powers that involve the unifying of everything.
Pure power. Unlimited power.
And also, it's not called Cold Heart because it's supposed to be an ice element. It's Cold Heart because it's liquid nitrogen cooled. Come on.
Come on. Yeah, man. All right, here's another question from Golf. Here's a random question. How many guardians are there lore-wise? I mean, we don't have hundreds of thousands of light-bearing guardians, right? If we did, couldn't we just have a bunch of hunters with Nighthawk and tracking Nova Bombs blow up the Almighty? I assumed we were all... Well, that is a good question. I mean, are we all... I guess we're supposed to imagine that we're just the only one in this universe.
No.
Although there's other guardians, but they're just not really getting in our way. They're never, like, fighting the big bad guys. But then our fire team comes with us. We have to assume there's at least six.
Yeah, so at least...
there's only six at any given time.
At least lore-wise, there are six really good guardians.
And the other ones just cease to exist unless we need them.
Well, I mean, they're still around because, I mean, we do have backstories for, like, Redrix, who was doing stuff while we were doing stuff in D1. Yeah, so they're, I mean, at least lore-wise, they're there and around, and I think we're all supposed to definitely be guardians. It's just, you know, trying to make, like, an MMO character, like one specific important individual, it's kind of a tricky thing.
Yeah. It would be kind of fun, though, for us if we were able to, like, you know, I understand why we can't use weapons and abilities in the tower, but that would have been cool just, like, for, like, a small time, let us use it, and we're, like, leveling up our supers and just throwing them into the air or something like that. Have, like, a day once a month where we can... And we wouldn't be killing other people in the tower, but I know it'd be hectic. Everyone would just be spamming everywhere, but we can, like, shoot our weapons or abilities. I don't know. It's kind of silly and stupid, too, but something to do, I guess. Just something new.
Keeps things exciting.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We have a lot of talk in that channel, so I'm just looking for specific questions. Thanks, everyone. It's been awesome having conversations in there and asking more questions of us. Seven Deadly Sins, yes.
It's a lot of conversation to, like, scroll through.
That's why you got to pin them.
I like to, like, pull them out ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also, like, partially blamed for a lot of this conversation. Sorry.
No, it's fine. We're casual.
I just didn't know what you all were talking about for whatever season 4. There's a lot of talk about people were talking.
Oh no, that's when we got into anime. So yeah, things got a little bit off topic there at the end.
Yeah. Basically, we did just get to Helios's question that you answered, Sin, and I kind of answered too. I mean, I think what I would be more specifically most excited to bring back in a way would be to explore the Dreadnought again as far as a location, if that would even lore make sense or whatever. But,
you know, I would like to say also, because part of that question is, do you think 3 raids in a year is said about Bungie is possible? And considering we already know, because I think... there was something that was released not long ago, the fact that everything brought in from D1 isn't exactly...
Everything what from D1?
I think he unfigured his button again.
Son of a... Yes?
It's all good.
When you unfinger everything, that's when you pay the price. But no, the fact that everything that that gets brought in from D1 isn't exactly imported, but they do actually retouch everything that they bring in. But at the same time, it's still, because I'm not sure if it was an official thing or if it was just someone stating that it is wise because they're able to bring in content in like a third of the time, I think. Because I think someone, it might have been an official statement that it might take months to make something new, but it does only take them a few weeks to import something.
Yeah.
So I think two new and an old. Of course, I mean, that's saying if we even get two raids a year.
Well, maybe they could do one big one, one small one, and then an old. I think that's a good middle ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, actually, because when did Crown of Sorrow come out?
It was the last year. It was right before Shadowkeep.
Okay. Because as far as we have now, I mean, we just have the one raid.
Yeah, but we do
already know that we're getting a raid and a reprised raid. So that's already a 100% increase from what we got this year.
I know. I would hope for three, and I wouldn't expect in any case to be three big ones. So maybe two, or maybe hopefully two and a half, but something.
Yeah. But like, it's kind of hard for me because the way this trickle has worked since Shadowkeep, of course, I wasn't, you know, personally able to witness a fourth of it. But from what I've seen so far, as long as they can keep up this type of trickle, I think I'd be happy. Because, yeah, we'd only get, like a minimum of two raids a year, a new and an old. But, you know, throw in a couple surprise dungeons, like, because I really love Sundial. That is definitely still by far, like, my favorite event that came out of this year. But, yeah, I mean, as long as they can just keep this up, I think it works.
Yeah. It's exciting, everything that we know, and it seems like I'm happy with what we're being told, and we will see. But, man, a lot to talk about, a lot to look forward to. I mean, I'm excited to report more back about the dungeon, hopefully, some other weapons that we find, some good rolls. It's a good time right now, so I don't know. Maybe ask us in a month and a half and we're bored. Who knows? But no.
I mean,
we always have something to talk about.
Yeah, that, and just to remind people, one.
Oh, no. Did you hit it again? Remind people what?
Remind people that one bad season is still better than two bad DLCs.
Correct.
And yes,
sold.
It happened again. Agreed. But yeah. Because Curse and whatever, and then D1 with that, and I mean, we get these big things happening in the fall, and then the next two DLCs used to suck, so having one bad season, I'm okay with.
Yeah, for sure. And this is what it was the previous year, too, and I guess, you can use the argument, maybe it shouldn't be that way, but nonetheless, whatever, this is looking like we're getting a good kickoff into the fall, so...
Indeed.
All right, gentlemen. Well, hey, actually, thanks everyone too for posting those questions. Please continue to do so. It gives us some more things to talk about at the end. And very soon we'll be having some guests again too. I have two people kind of like semi lined up. So let us know too if there's anyone you want. We can always try for that too. Any other housekeeping? Let's see. No reviews right now. So please, if you want to, leave us a review for the podcast on iTunes. It helps us get found, and we will read it on the air.
Maybe.
Maybe. If Sin lets me. And then that's about it. So
We're definitely going to be continuing the conversation yes. as the season unfolds.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And mysteries come out.
Yes.
And all kinds of spoilers. Mysteries in the air. All right. Well, I wasn't looking to close up super quick. I was just reading to see if there was anything else, but it doesn't look like there is. So I guess we will. Sin, can you slowly take us out with the soothing voices?
Oh, yeah. This week on Q107, you can find Sin on twitch.tv/SinMedia. And over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, where can the lovely listeners find you?
Other than causing chaos in the Discord, which, as our denizens are learning, I do love a good debate. But as long as everyone understands, no ill will, no fouls intended. Like I said, I love debating and talking. Even if that means inciting a little bit of chaos to get interesting conversation.
We'll allow
it. But anyway, right. But you can find me on Twitter at @DES_Raven. Kingsley, it's all yours.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, let's keep those conversations going, everyone. It keeps it interesting. It keeps our Discord alive. And by the way, we've had some more people join the Discord recently and even the clan. So hello, everyone. Thank you for playing with us and joining the group. But yes, you can find me as Kingsley Mac, all the places except for on Twitter. I am MC Kingsley. Twitch, I stream occasionally, mostly when I'm reading. And you can also find our show. Of course, if you're listening to us, you know where to find it audio-wise. But check out our website if you want at theguardianhub.com. That's what you can forward to others to. Our About Us page tells how to reach the Discord and the clan. And then also on Twitter, I post the episode releases, and that's theguardianhub.com. So now that all that silliness is out of the way, let's get into the game, everyone. Hope you're having fun. I know we're going to have fun going back into it. And let's see where this discussion takes us and what Savathun is bringing our way. All right, everyone, have a good week.
And have a good month.
Later, man.
Wait, we're not coming back for a month?
Yeah. I mean, apparently.
I don't know. I mean, just a month full of
I gotcha.
Content.
Yeah, I was thinking that since, like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
I mean, that's a good outro. Thanks, Sin, for saying that.
I'm pleased. Have a good night.
Bye.
Later.